You're listening to WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul.
Check, check, 1, 2. Look like a little country. Some rock and roll and blues. Cause we sure love playing for good people like you. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, 1, 2.
You are listening to Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, the radio show that features conversations with and the music of local musicians and traveling musicians performing in town. I'm your host, Dave Lake.
Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I'm talking again with John Madden, conductor and music director of the Savannah Wind Symphony, about their upcoming spring concert, Courtly Airs on the Horizon, which is on March 1st at 3 p.m. at the Fine Arts Auditorium of the Armstrong Campus of Georgia Southern University. Welcome back to Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, John Madden.
Thanks, Dave. Good to be back.
So, what's new with the band?
The band's doing really well, and I sure appreciate you giving us time to help get the word out. So this is my second year in the position, and this is our second concert of our season. I think I've mentioned before, we're in a ramp up to the 50th anniversary of Savannah Wind Symphony next year. So we're in our 49th season, and things are going well. We're building a loyal following, folks that come out to Armstrong to hear the band, and so it's going really well. The musicians, I think, are staying enthusiastic and are activated by the repertoire, and so we really have a good ensemble life that we're all living in, and it's fun right now.
And you have 4 concerts a year.
There's a template, basically, fall concert, the spring concert, a Pops concert. That is sort of a tradition I inherited. And of course, a Pops concert can be, you know, curated many different ways. It just doesn't have to be Pops-ish. It can be Pops-like. Copeland, Bernstein, you can go a lot of different ways and still call it Pops. But the music is really what it's all about. And then annual patriotic concert. Big, big deal.
So the Pops concert doesn't have to be all Bad Bunny.
Exactly. There's a hot button right now.
Including a congressional investigation of the halftime show.
Yeah, holy cow. I always thought that at least my music world could stay in the lane that didn't involve any politics. So there you go.
Oh, not anymore.
Craziness.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Including a certain concert hall in Washington, D.C.
Right, right.
We don't have those troubles here.
No.
Because we have a Johnny Mercer, but there is no complaints, there's no controversy about a Johnny Mercer hall.
And there is some exciting conversation about the revitalization of that hall. And I would throw it to CEO of the Savannah Philharmonic, Amy Williams, who I have an association with, and we have had several conversations. I've done a little work for them in their educational programs. I've conducted the All-Star Ensemble. Going to do that again this spring. I believe that Amy very much is counting on the collaboration of the parallel arts organizations in Savannah to continue to Pied Piper the word. And you and I were speaking off air of your city council meeting that you're going to attend and how vibrant that is here in Savannah in terms of the momentum and initiative rehab that space, not to mention all of the other issues regarding recovering old squares and those things that I'm a little bit aware of. But I believe when the permanent home for the Savannah Philharmonic is in the revitalized Johnny Mercer, that'll be a place for the Savannah Wind Symphony to play and other ensembles to play. It might even be a home to rehearse and these kinds of things. So that's a very exciting proposition. If you haven't already, I'd encourage you to have Amy in to have a conversation about that. She's kind of the leader with putting the arts organizations on her back and doing
the heavy lifting,
the good work to communicate all of those tough roads to hoe.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, she has been an absolutely wonderful addition to the arts community in Savannah.
Absolutely. You know, we've talked her into playing with us a couple of times. She's a very fine bassoonist. She has a DMA in bassoon performance from Ohio State, and we've had her in Savannah Winds for a couple of concerts. So I really like the collaborative spirit of arts organizations in Savannah. We're Savannah's community band. I've kind of given us that label. That momentum is exciting.
You would actually invite someone from the Ohio State University to your band?
We leave our colors at the door. How's that? Sounds like a biker bar. Leave your colors at the door.
Well, we have the fall of the spring concert coming up, and the spring concert, again, is Courtly Airs on the horizon. And that's because one of the centerpieces of the concert is a six-part suite by Ron Nelson called Courtly Airs and Dances.
I love the piece. Courtly Airs and Dances is sort of a modern landmark piece. It's accessible by younger school ensembles, young high school, in some cases advanced middle school. They're Renaissance dances, essentially. But there have been some really fine recordings made of this piece, including by the Dallas Wind Symphony and Jerry Junkin. And it just is a great journey through Renaissance music in Renaissance form. It's been Ron Nelsonized, and he's just one of America's great composers. He has a note in the score calling it a suite of Renaissance dances which were characteristic to five European countries during the 1500s. Three of the dances, the bass dance, the pavane, and the allemande, are meant to emulate the music of Claude Gervais by drawing on a style of his music as well as characteristics of other compositions from that period. So it takes the listener on a journey from France to England to Italy to Spain and then finally to Germany. It has a beautiful slow movement where the band sings. So there are soloists playing and the rest of the band, the balance of the band is a choir. And I love music that takes the listener on a journey. And so this is one of the centerpieces of the program for sure.
Those dances that came out of the Renaissance were actually a intrinsic part of the classic Baroque suite as
right.
well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So absolutely.
We're talking 2-3 centuries of use of these pieces.
Right, for sure.
And this is a modern, as you said, Ron Nelsonized
yes.
version.
Yes.
We've talked about sort of the centerpiece of the concert, but a wise former conductor from Michigan State University keeps telling me, you've got to have a fanfare, and you should open with a fanfare. And in this case, we open with Mark Camphouse, Symphonic Fanfare.
It's one of those pieces that I did not know. I know Mark Camphouse very well. But so, as you said, our discussions about, you know, curtain openers starting, coming out of the gate hot kind of thing. That's the programming goal. So he wrote this for an ensemble very similar to ours. It was a commission to celebrate a 75th anniversary of a really fine community band in Wheaton, Illinois, the Wheaton Municipal Band. And at first blush, you listen to a recording of the opening, and it stops you in your tracks. It's celebratory, fanfare-esque, but it quickly flows. It's very pleasing to your ear. Lots of major tonality and triads and classic fanfare-esque things. And it's gripping. And it's daunting. This middle 3-4 section, it's marked arioso con moto. So song-like with motion. It seems like the piece has a very long introduction to finally let the listener just settle into this song-like, beautiful middle section. It's gripping, it's daunting. Rhythmically, it has complexities. There's the upper woodwinds trilling, creating this color.
Thank you.
Well, when I was listening to it, I said, yeah, John Madden has done it again. What a wonderful opening.
It really is cool. And I'm going to do it again. I'm glad I stumbled into it.
This is WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with Global Soul.
You're listening to WRUU, your local radio station, for people just like you, hosted by people from your community. The voices you hear are your neighbors, coworkers, and others from the Savannah and Lowcountry area. In other words, WRUU is your community radio station. Please help us by donating whatever you can to help your neighbors and friends stay on the air. Go to WRUU.org and support your local radio station. Any amount is welcomed. Thank you for your support of WRUU.
This portion of WRUU's programming is brought to you by listeners like you and by the 2026 Savannah Music Festival, which runs from March 25th through April 5th. American Roots Music programming will feature Mike Marshall and Alessandro Panazzi, Sierra Hall and John Craigie, Old Crow Medicine Show, Daryl Scott featuring Rob Ickes, and more. More information about concerts and tickets can be found at www.savannahmusicfestival.org. The Savannah Philharmonic's Music of Empire Elgar's Enigma concert with the guest conductor Benjamin Manis is on Saturday, March 28th at 7:30 p.m. in the Lucas Theater for the Arts and features, in addition to Elgar's Enigma variations, the violist Philip Dukes performing Vaughan Williams' Flos Campi with the Savannah Philharmonic Chorus. More information and tickets are available at savannahphilharmonic.org. This music is often called classical music, but remember, Mozart, Beethoven, and Liszt were the rock stars of their time, so I simply call it great music. I'm your host, Dave Lake, and join me for four centuries of great music, with new episodes each week on Sundays from 3 to 5 p.m. We also have encores of these episodes on Saturdays from 3 to 5 p.m. from mid-June to early December. Welcome back to Music Local and Sustainable, and I'm your host, Dave Lake.
Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I'm talking again with John Madden, conductor and music director of the Savannah Wind Symphony, about their upcoming spring concert, Courtly Airs on the Horizon, which is on March 1st at 3 p.m. at the Fine Arts Auditorium of the Armstrong campus of Georgia Southern University. Another feature of this concert is a couple pieces that feature solos by band members.
So there's two, and I can't imagine for me programming a season where there isn't a soloist or several soloists sprinkled throughout a season. So we've talked about Savannah Winds and, you know, what is the makeup? Who are our players? Where do they come from? What are their backgrounds? Because, again, we're a community ensemble. No members are paid. These aren't pros, and yet we have pros in our group. There are professionals among us who are playing for the love of it. They like the repertoire. They like the ambition to get ready for it. And so there's two gentlemen who are, I don't think, need an introduction in this community. But our trumpet soloist is Dr. Tim Kitzinger. Tim is the trumpet prof at Georgia Southern in Statesboro. When I took over the band, I remember chatting with him after a rehearsal. It sounds funny, but I sort of said, why are you here? This is a community group. And he says, well, this is way more than a community group. This is a group of committed musicians. And he in particular is inspired by the music and the ensemble and the level of quality. And we've discussed rehearsals and repertoire and how things go. And I'm just delighted that he's in the group. He's one of the leader trumpet folks in the section. If he were sitting here, he'd tell you there's several trumpet players in this section who are companions to that quality. He's doing a piece called Nexus by Jim Curnow. Also sort of interesting connection, it was written for the conductor of the famous Cobb Wind Symphony in Cobb County near Atlanta. And it was written for his son, who's a military band musician, as part of one of the Cobb County anniversaries. So solo works for band, I'm never worried about the soloist. I want to make sure that the accompaniment can be in our reaches with the time that we have to prepare it, and that the length of the piece fits the program. So the band's doing a great job. Jim Curnow is a prolific composer of band music, and we have a background back all the way back to Michigan and Detroit, and so this is a great feature piece for Tim. And then the other piece is by a Belgian composer. His name is Steven Verhelst. And this piece is called Kaleidoscope. That soloist is Mark Spradley, a local Savannian who is in the trombone section of the Savannah Phil, Hilton Head, Atlanta Ballet. He's the founder of the Savannah Trombone Ensemble, which I've had the chance to conduct. He's an educator. He's a performer. He's an entrepreneur. And this piece by Verhelst is a great feature for the trombone. It's about 8 minutes in length, and yet I've got a score that I'm looking at, and you can testify that there's a lot of asymmetry in this piece. He uses the meter 7/8, and I will politely say that the composer really beats it up. He can throw 7/8 at us every which way. And, you know, 2+2+3, 3+2+2, a string of 2+2+3 in repeat. And to the listener, that means the music sort of has it's not an even beat.
Right. There's a rhythmic variety to
absolutely.
It.
So it'll go bing, bong, dit, dit, da, bom, bom, ding, dong, jut, jut, da, bing, bom. So it creates, vibrancy. And so Mark and Tim are our soloists. Tim's on the first half, Mark's on the second half. It's going to make for a really dynamic concert. And then they're featured at the end, the two of them, with one of our clarinet players in a little special Dixieland thing where I'm not, if you're hearing this broadcast, I'm not going to ruin a surprise, but they may just saunter back on stage to do a little bit of an old gospel favorite, Just a Closer Walk with Thee. Now, what's great about these arrangements, these are published by Hale Leonard, but the famous Canadian Brass has recorded so many things. They're sort of rock stars of brass, classical brass music, still around. I don't know which iteration of the Canadian Brass it is right now, but some of the personnel have changed. And so this is one of their famous encore tunes. And thanks to Hale Leonard, the publishing company, for bringing this to the concert band. So we can play essentially the same version. So you might hear a little Dixieland trumpet, a little Dixieland trombone, and maybe a little bit of clarinet as well. So it's not a traditional sort of closer. I guess it's kind of a planned encore, because the piece that precedes this is really the planned closer, which is the Wagner Elsa's procession to the cathedral.
Which raises another wise comment by that former Michigan State conductor. Always end with something familiar.
Yeah.
Have them walk out humming the tune.
Yeah, absolutely. They'll be going bum ba da ba da 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 bum bum ba dum. There's the tune. There's the gospel tune in sort of the Dixieland. But this will be, in our last concert we did the Enigma Variations of Elgar, and it was ginormous. It was a stunning performance of giant classical music. The Wagner is a transcription. It's from the opera Lohengrin, and it's that classic scene where the music maybe is 6 minutes in length, but it's just essentially a crescendo from beginning to end. I mean, if we had an organ in that hall, it would be going, and the brass is full out at the end, And this is a memorable audience closer, but I didn't feel that I would just leave us hanging right here. Hence the closer walk with thee and the soloist, sort of. You know, programming takes you on sort of a hiking trail. It's pretty well marked. It's not perfectly marked. And all of a sudden you find the marker that says, oh yeah, go that way. I mean, I think programming for me is just one of those things where you throw a lot of things in the big end of a funnel, and the things that come out the small end of the funnel, you know, there's some nuance and everything like that. It's one of my favorite parts of the job, and that is programming in a compelling way. So, as we said already, audience is inspired, players are inspired.
And in addition to these well-established composers, you have a few pieces on the program that are by younger composers, up-and-coming composers.
Right.
And these works represent two things to me. One is the perfect addition to the program where it is for change of mood.
Right.
And change of feel. For instance, let's take after we have a symphonic fanfare and then this wonderful piece for trumpet and band, Nexus, we have a piece called Dusk, and this is by Stephen Bryant.
Yes.
And it is, I won't say moody, but it's such ethereal. It's such a relaxing piece after two really dynamite pieces. And
right.
Before the centerpiece of the concert, you have this relaxed piece.
Yes, Stephen is a brilliant young composer. He might not think he's young anymore. He's born in 1972. That sounds very young to me still. And he is a native from Arkansas. He studied at Juilliard with John Corigliano. And he says about Dusk that it's a simple, and Dave, you described it really well. And I especially like the word ethereal. He calls it a simple chorale-like work, captures the reflective calm of dusk, paradoxically illuminated by the fiery hues of sunset. So, you know, you can stop right there and think about that for a little bit. You know, what motivates a composer to put the notes down on paper? So he then goes on to say he's struck by the dual nature of this experience, as if witnessing an event of epic proportions silently occurring in slow motion. So he ends by saying Dusk is intended as a short, passionate evocation of this moment of dramatic stillness. So the momentum of the piece is slow. The dynamic is primarily soft. There's a lot of drama in ascending lines that lead to big climaxes. His harmonic language is very tertian, stacked thirds, sevenths, ninths, elevenths, added note chords, things that give the harmony tension. But it starts very softly, and it ends very softly. It starts with two flutes and a vibraphone in the very first beat.
Thank you.
there's another younger composer. His name is Andy Perkins, formal name Andrew David Perkins. He has a piece called From Old Inishowen. He's got two Irish folk tunes woven together. And I think a year ago on the spring concert, I did Percy Grainger's Irish Tune from County Derry, which is a beloved piece. I'm now living in Savannah just over 3 years now, 3.5 years. I understand that St. Patrick's Day is not just the 17th, but I mean, as soon as the calendar changes to March, it's sort of like St. Patrick's Day around here.
Well, the Irish Festival begins right at the beginning of March. Yeah,
and a guy's last name is Madden, has no trouble with this whatsoever. So I thought the March concert is a nice place to put a nod to Irish folk tradition. So Andy's got two tunes, Morla Shore is the first one. And the second one is The Humors of Whiskey. And, that you know, I think the audience will be pulled right into a little toe-tapping Irish jigging, so to speak.
Thank you.
And there's a third piece that I was unfamiliar with, but again, placement on the program, but also the effect that it has, where we're talking about Dusk is sort of more introspective. This one is sort of expansive, and it is properly called Infinity.
Infinity, yes, by African-American composer Kataj Copeland. Kataj Copeland's music is very popular. It's in a minimalist capacity, so many in the audience listening know what that means, and they can think of music by John Adams, Stephen Reich, where an idea will be set in motion, and then it stays in motion. And underneath that motion, other things bounce off of it and play into it. So the percussion and the upper woodwinds at the beginning of Infinity, they basically start a fast-moving, his first expression mark is con brio. The metronome mark is 160. That's fast. And they're basically in a sparkly, pointillistic momentum that goes on and on and on, like a minimalist piece does. And the basic composite idea of it is, and under that goes these swooping long and low lines. And then it's intermixed with sort of stabs and punctuations. And the minimalist composer will set you in motion. I'm tapping my hand on the desk here. Set you in motion and kind of thoroughly pound that idea out. And then it finally leads to something that shifts. A dynamic, a key center change, a major orchestration change to go from all brass to all woodwinds to just percussion. And the piece, it was written in 2020. Kataj Copeland was born in 1998. And it's only a three-minute piece, but it's intended, as you said, to let the audience adjust to what they just heard, introduce this, and keep that idea of diversity in the program, contrast in the program. We're trying to take the audience on a journey.
And it's programmed actually right after the Andy Perkins.
Right. Go from a little toe-tapping to now for something completely different.
Thank you.
And to me, it's cinematic.
Yeah.
It'd be like from a movie.
Sure.
Maybe a science fiction movie.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's always the privilege of an audience member in any concert of any kind. Where does it take you? What images does it conjure? What about it did you like? I'm always fascinated to have conversations, especially with music that I know. And I'm not talking about with my ensemble members, but with maybe people who don't think about music the way I think about music. What did you like about that? What did you think was cool in that piece? And I think composers, musicians alike, we all sort of do that. It's kind of the musicologist in us all. What role did this piece play at this time, socially, politically, artistically? You know, there's always a continuum that the music bounces off of. It's fascinating. But I've got to tell you, Dave, I'm just scratching the surface here, picking pieces that are quality pieces in my mind by new composers. I haven't quite done it yet, but I just might. And one of the concerts in the future, I'm going to call the theme of the concert. This is all brand new. And it might have been written last year or written just for this occasion, or maybe is only 5 years old. But these are pieces where the composers are alive. There are a lot of band and wind ensemble conductors. I can't speak for orchestra conductors, but I'm sure there's the same, maybe not in a subscription series kind of concert environment, but there's something exciting about playing the music of the composers that are alive and can collaborate with you and can be on a Zoom call during your rehearsal. So I could stop and then we could all look at the screen and we could talk to Kataj Copley about how did we sound at letter B from letter B to C. That's part of my previous life at the university, although you always have those resources. Composers are coming and going and living among you and on your faculty. And so there's a vibrant exchange between, you know, those that whose craft it is to create the music and then those of us that are in collaboration with that person to try to bring the music to life, i.e. the conductor and the ensemble members. But we have to remember, without the composer, we're nothing. We're coming together to collaborate with what they've created.
So tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I've been talking with John Madden, conductor and music director of the Savannah Wind Symphony, about the upcoming spring concert, Courtly Airs on the Horizon, on March 1st at 3 p.m. at the Fine Arts Auditorium of the Armstrong campus of Georgia Southern University. And John, as always, it's wonderful to have you in talking about music.
Thank you, Dave. And it is one of the great joys to be able to come in and visit with you. I look forward to doing it again.
This has been another edition of Music Local and Sustainable, and I've been your host, Dave Lake. Save this time for another show next week.
Well, I know we ain't headed for the Hall of Fame. Gonna give it what we got, man, it ain't no shame. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, one, two. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, one, two.